Okay, it is April 10th, 2013. Carl Sipe. I am the acting chair of the WMATA Riders Advisory Council Safety and Security Subcommittee. And I'd like to call this meeting to order. Welcome, everyone, for RAC members and visitors. First, we always start the meeting with public comment. Is there anyone signed up for public comment, John?
There's one person signed up for public comment.
Would that person please come up? We'll bring the extras to the next meeting when we send this on. Go ahead, Chris.
So I was on the Red Line Saturday night going to dinner, and I just have some brief notes about the derailment incident. The incident occurred at 6:45 Saturday night and lasted until about 10:30 that night. The incident was reported as a train malfunction. Single tracking lasted approximately 3.5 hours. The WMATA Twitter account made one tweet regarding the incident at 7:02 p.m., called it a train malfunction. No other tweets were made from then till after the incident cleared after 10:30. The account never told riders the incident had cleared. In-station announcements were mostly inaudible due to the quality of the announcer's voice. It sounded like a 13-year-old girl doing morning announcements at her school. Many riders either couldn't understand or tuned it out as usual background noise due to the abundance of announcements. On the two trains I was on during the incident time, neither of the train operators were telling riders about the incident. My last train that night was from DuPont Circle back home to Silver Spring, and from DuPont to Rhode Island Avenue, it took 37 minutes. According to WMATA's trip planner, that trip should have taken 14 minutes. When we were instructed to hold at Union Station, the train operator didn't know how long we would be holding, and again just said single tracking due to a train malfunction. I asked another WMATA train operator on that train what the problem was, and he told me there had been a derailment at the yard. Not until that moment had a single WMATA employee told paying riders the scope of the problem. I fully believe that if I hadn't asked and been told what was happening, WMATA would have tried to hide the fact that they had a derailment. The WMATA website never showed any information other than delay on the red line. Nowhere was there notice about a derailment. No red bar showing an extended delay as in the past, and to this day, still no official explanation of the events. Since this incident, WMATA has made no public comment on the derailment except to reporters who may have asked them but didn't write more than one or two sentences about the incident. What was the cause? How will this be prevented? Is there any danger to riders who pass over this spot in the tens of thousands every day? The WMATA Twitter account was not responding to riders. I had to try to help people out. WMATA should staff the account anytime the system is open, either using communications department personnel, there's 51 on staff, or someone in central control. On heavy use weekends like this last one, the Twitter account should be replying to riders. Tourists aren't accustomed to this level of failure. Later that same night, there were two more red line train malfunctions. One of them trapped riders underground in a stalled train for more than 90 minutes. WMATA experiences an average of one significant incident every operating day. Each of these incidents are a chance for WMATA to prove they're improving their response, and each time WMATA shows us they are not. The Riders Advisory Council needs to stop taking WMATA's word that they're improving. Evidence shows they are not improving, and if anything, getting worse. The Riders Advisory Council needs to make public statements with incidents of a certain scale. These statements need to either include the information WMATA has provided to the council or a statement promising the riders answers. WMATA has 51 employees in marketing, public relations, and communications, and none of them have done their job. Any information we get from the WMATA Twitter account, train operators, station managers, signage, or email alerts is often cryptic, inconsistent, or in some cases, flat-out lies. WMATA may not be able to fix all their problems immediately, but they can fix how they communicate about those problems, and the RAC should hold WMATA's feet to the fire to do so. Riders deserve timely, accurate, and truthful information. Thank you.
Can I ask a question, Chris? Yeah. After the fact, they admitted it was a derailment, right?
After that
was
in the press. Reporters asked.
Right. And then the other question I had was, you said WMATA has a significant delay every day. Is that a WMATA
significant
term?
Incident.
A significant
an average,
incident.
An average of every day.
Is that a WMATA significant? Is it significant incident one of their terms or yours?
Mine.
Okay. What do you define it as?
Well, Saturday night there were three. There was the derailment and there were two train malfunctions. One of those train malfunctions had people trapped in a tunnel for 90 minutes, so I'm going to consider that a significant incident.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Anybody else?
Does anyone else have questions for Chris?
Oh, so what I provided was a timeline of tweets.
Including the WMATA tweets.
And the WMATA tweet, yes. The only one.
Thank you, Chris. Any other members of the public to comment? Okay. Moving on to the next agenda item, approval of agenda. Do I hear a second? Hearing no objection, agenda is considered approved. We will now go on to the first of two main items on tonight's agenda, looking at emergency preparedness. WMATA staff has asked the Riders Advisory Council and public to decide on specific recommendations related to emergency preparedness communications materials that they are developing. And we would like to develop some concrete recommendations and forward those on to the full RAC for approval, hopefully in May. As you know, this is the first of our new subcommittee meeting structures, which without major staff presentations and more time should allow us to dig a little heavier into the issues. If you turn to page 3, labeled 3, ostensibly 2, of the packet, you'll see the first letter, and I will go ahead and make a motion to approve the letter, right? I'll make a motion to approve the letter, which will open debate. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay. So now the letter on page 3 is on the floor, and I think we should we can go around in whatever format since there's so few of us. Are there any public commenters on how to improve the emergency communications procedures? And I'd like to reiterate that we are looking for what would riders like to see here for those of you. That's the right thing, right? We're looking to answer the question, what would riders like to see on trains, and I assume on buses as well, but tonight's focus is trains, in an emergency. Behind me we have a placard that is currently displayed, and that is currently what WMATA is rewriting. Because as I think most people know, it's fairly unclear. So the key question here tonight is, how can we improve onboard communications, both placards and signs, and other communication methods. Staff provided three direct questions, if you turn to page 4, and those are outlined in the letter. Hopefully we can add some specific suggestions too.
Okay, I have been reading this as communication period, and the materials to me is something that is hard.
I believe we've been asked to look at both components.
Communications can be anything from, I mean, brochure, video, announcements, hard or soft communication.
Okay.
We can start with public comment, per normal. Just come on up in an orderly fashion.
So, Carl, I'm going to assume then that the scope of the discussion is not limited to that thing.
No.
Okay. I mean, that thing has serious graphic design problems and has for as long as it's been posted on the system, but I don't think that that can be addressed in 2 minutes. I think the biggest thing that can be done, and this wouldn't even necessarily just be an on-train thing, and I spoke to this somewhat at the last RAC meeting, and this sort of bleeds over into policy, is for there to be something along the lines of a rider's bill of rights. The Long Island Railroad, for example, and Carl, I know you saw it, the Long Island Railroad has something that's posted in rail cars. It's on their website. They make it readily available, and it sets out very definite actions that the railroad will take if there's a disruption. It says, you know, here's how long you may be delayed on a train. Here's, you know, if there's more than, I think in their case, it's 8 inch. No, I think they'll still run if there's up to a foot of snow. So if there's a foot of snow, they will suspend service, and they tell you that right up front. They tell you right up front, you know, we will get you, you know, water. We will get you provisions if you're stuck on a train. Those are the kinds of things, but you can't just put that on the poster. I mean, like I said, it bleeds over into policy because WMATA has to actually adhere to that. You know, as Chris pointed out, the incident at Tenleytown was supposed to be a very straightforward train recovery. Somehow those people were stuck underground for 90 minutes. We don't know what the details were there, but there needs to be a standard that just says, don't leave people stranded on a train for more than 90 minutes. And so if you can communicate to them sort of a certain set of expectations, you know, here is what will happen, and not even necessarily just in an emergency, but just, you know, we will tweet about things if it's causing more than this much of a delay to the service. And when I say tweet, that's sort of a broad term for tweet, email, put it on the new displays, et cetera, because it's all various forms of messaging. You know, basically, we will put out an alert when blank. I mean, and Carl, you asked what's a significant incident. Well, that's, there should be a formal definition, you know, and people should know. For example, if you're told, hey, it's a significant incident, plan on getting home by another route. And that needs to be, you know, we need to have a clear set of terms so that people can understand what exactly is going on the system. That has to happen. And some of these are more policy related than they are the graphic design of that sign. And that's the best I can say, is there are policy problems that have to be fixed first. And if you fix that, then everything will sort of fall into place. People will stop self-evacuating because they will know. They will have seen it on the web or in a station. Hey, we're going to get you off the train in a half an hour or what have you. So that really is the most I can say.
So thanks for your comment. Chris, do you have something to share or anyone else? And then we can go into the main discussion.
I want to second what Kurt said about the Rider's Bill of Rights. Completely agree with that. But I also want to bring up some specific things since I think that might help. The station announcements need to be in a professional voice, whether that means pre-recorded announcements or pick someone better in central control to make these station announcements. PA issues. It's been brought up that it might be a problem with mixing of the series of cars. If that is what's causing the PAs to not work, and furthermore, the emergency call buttons to not work, WMATA needs to fix that. Somehow, some way, they need to fix the intermixing of the series. And the other thing is be honest. The other night, they called a derailment a train malfunction. Well, you know what? When a door doesn't close and it's going to be resolved in 5 minutes, they also call that a train malfunction. 5 minutes versus 3.5 hours of delays is a huge difference. So I think getting the semantics right and being honest with the riders is another huge step that really isn't much of a technical thing so much as a procedural thing. Thanks.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you. I think also a member of the AAC might be here, the second vice chair. If you want to... Can we grab the mic? I believe the AAC recently discussed emergency preparedness and might have some perspective as well.
Thank you. Okay. Thank Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just had a meeting, Bus and Rails Subcommittee, Monday, and we had the same discussion that you are having now, safety and security on metros and buses. Our responsibility was, and we talked about this with our the board members. We have a quarterly meetings with the board members, and I was there, and we raised this thing, especially for people with disabilities, because the safety and security and rescue process for people with disabilities is much more concern mm-hmm. than people who are able-bodied, because able-bodied people can walk, can run, can see, can hear, and also they could use the facilities that exist, such as jackets and other kind of immediate requirement for emergency. But people who are in a wheelchair, who cannot see, cannot hear, there should be not only just announcement, what kind of announcement, not just a video, what kind of video, not just the brochure, what is written in that brochure, and evacuations on an aerial route, which is now happening on the Silver Line, compared with the tunnels under the river. They're completely different situation for a person that cannot walk or have other kind of disabilities. So I think this is a concern both of RAC and as well as AAC. And we thought that it would be nice for both of us to work together as security and safety committee and come up with a recommendation to the board, to the board of directors, because they are very much interested. Our meeting with them, it was clearly mentioned to us that we would love to have you make a presentation to us what you guys feel that it should be done, both for able-bodied as well as for disabled persons' requirement for the security and safety for the metro and buses. So we are going to make the recommendation, but I think, Mr. Chairman, we might combine our efforts together rather than having separately working the same thing and duplicating the efforts. So if we make a video or the brochure or the announcement, they should all consider everything that both AAC and RAC are recommending. That would be my suggestion.
I think that's an excellent point. Deborah?
I was asking, I forgot the lady's name, if we can set up a paper easier to write something, so something visible. Is it too hard? Is it too late to do that?
We can, like, changes to the letter?
Or suggestion?
No. Write something.
Like
maybe
suggestions?
Maybe we should write some comment on it so everybody can see at the same time. I'm thinking of a paper easier.
Would John can type the comments on the...
Yeah.
We can move the... turning to the three main questions Carol?
I want to know if the derailment, what level of incident, quote unquote, is reportable to outside safety monitors? In other words, are all derailments reported to the NTSB or the TOC? Can you give me the answer? Does anybody here know the answer to that question?
I do not. I believe that derailments are reportable to the TOC. I would have to check. Honestly, I'm not going to bust that out and be correct at the time. So, the TOC doesn't have any role in communicating with us.
No, I would just like to say that I really endorse the idea of a Riders' Bill of Rights, and I also think it's a good idea for us to define what the various levels of incidents are. And so a derailment to me is different, obviously, from a malfunctioning door, and I think that might be a good first step in enhancing the trust between the rider and WMATA.
I do think, does anyone else have any comments on the Riders' Bill of Rights issue? Kara?
Cara. I agree. I mean, I think it is a policy thing that it's not necessarily something that can be changed on there. I was also thinking when you just said that, you know, the different levels, maybe it could be number coded. It's a numbered level one incident, meaning it would take between 5 to 10 minutes, you know, whereas a level three would be, you know, 30 minutes plus or something like that. So people know when they're coming into a station, and again, I don't know where this would be posted because I know those LCDs are, well, that's another story, but so that people know and that it's put out. So when they don't know for sure what's happening, or they don't want to disclose what's happening, at least they can say level three so people know, like, let's stay off the red line or just stay off the metro in general. But, yeah, I agree with all that was said.
Marianne, Deborah?
I agree with the idea of Bill of Rights, whatever it gets called, because it helps define what we're talking about. It provides some consistency and that can be communicated. What I'm also hearing is beyond, I guess I'm almost seeing two levels of this. There are three interesting questions, but I'm not sure if they're quite the right questions. And there are many levels of what we're talking about. That I find totally unuseful. You can't find it anyhow, and it's only in English, and it's only, you know, in words. And it's only sort of for one kind of thing, and you aren't sure for when. And it doesn't, it deals with able-bodied, not disabled bodies. And so I guess I could see a direction to try to get a letter of whatever we can agree to of, hey, we have, there are certain issues we need to deal with. We want to work together because you'll get a better thing instead of more separate information. And, you know, there might be a priority of, here's something we think can be done quickly. This links into having a workshop or having workshops, plural, and maybe have the letter outline the process with something that's critical as something we're recommending for right now, including then a process.
Deborah?
Maybe I need to go back to elementary level. I don't know. But can you explain what the Bill of Rights? Can you explain the background of Bill of Rights?
Well, I'm really tagging on to an idea that was proposed during the public comments period. I believe you said that Long Island Railroad, the Long Island Railroad has a Bill of Rights that basically, well, Deborah, here's a good analogy. At least this is where the light bulb went on in my head. If you go to any hospital, or even most doctor's offices right now, but let's stick to the hospital, they'll have there's usually some poster posted prominently in hospitals, especially those that get federal funds, that talks about patients' rights. You know, right to, and this is, you know, without having looked at it, and I'm going to definitely look it up when I go home. That's what I'm seeing that you're talking about. Please jump in and clarify if that's not what you mean. But I see something that's affirmative, that's customer focused, which is an issue that we've been struggling with, and that kind of spells out what customers can expect in terms of the emergency definition, timing. Although, you know, I don't know if that's really reasonable, but spells out what customers can expect in an emergency.
Can I add to that? My first, which is not necessarily about emergencies, but my first image that came into my head is when you're in a taxi cab, you see right next to you what your rights are. If the taxi is, the taxi cannot charge you more for this, or this is the flat rate of this. And although, again, that's not necessarily about emergencies, at least it's clear to you where your rights are as a passenger on that in that vehicle. And that there's a number there, and I think that's most important. I think that's what we all really want, is to hold someone accountable. And in the taxi, there's a number there. So if your rights aren't met, you're allowed to, or not allowed to, but you're given that opportunity to contact someone to make a note so that driver, that cab, is held liable. So that's what my first thought was.
Yeah, Chris and Kurt, briefly.
I want to help you with what you're trying to say. The airline industry has a passenger bill of rights, and I think what we're talking about is something similar. You can't sit on that hot tarmac more than an hour before the plane has to go back to the gate and you have to deplane so people can use the facilities, that kind of thing. The passenger bill of rights would set expectations, and that would build trust. If a rider knows, okay, I've been delayed 20 minutes, I know when I get off this train there's a number I can call and ask for a refund, that kind of thing. Okay, well, I was just trying to provide an example that's more in line with what WMATA would provide. Regarding the levels that you're talking about, I think if we keep communications in as simple English as possible, that's better. Tourists won't know what a level one incident is, and this is obviously a tourist town. But I agree, we need something that sets expectations. WMATA called the Red Line disaster a train malfunction. Nine people died in 2009, and they called it a train malfunction. They have not become better at speaking plain English, so riders have expectations since 2009.
That's a good point. So we have on this. So I'm going to propose amending the. I think the Bill of Rights piece is a good one. I do think it is a larger discussion than the specific questions we've been asked to provide here. So I'm going to. Can I amend my own motion? I'm going to retract my motion and put it on the floor again with this paragraph added after the paragraph that says finally on page 4. We also support the development of a passenger's bill of rights that clearly encapsulates these issues and others to better inform passengers of what to expect during their metro experience. Please expect an additional communication on this issue, a more detailed communication on this issue in coming up in the future. Does that capture what we've been discussing so far?
And I don't know if you want that level of detail. Sorry. The airline passenger bill of rights, I could argue whether they effectively carry it out, but that's a tale for another day. but I think that's probably a good idea.
Hearing no objection to that amendment.
Yeah.
John, did you get that?
As much as that, I will copy down to the
way. Okay.
And Ben?
I'll just comment on the Republic.
2 minute limit.
Always less than that. Just playing devil's advocate here, I think we have to look at framing it as a bill of rights versus a pledge, as you may have suggested earlier, or some sort of list of standards. A bill of rights implies that Metro is then on the hook to provide something, some sort of, if it's a financial benefit or something else, if those rights are there by infringed. And that creates some sort of obligation on Metro's part. And I think we have to look at whether Metro is actually willing or able to do something in the event that those rights or whatever are infringed. So I think casting it more as a standards list or something like that might be a more productive way, in a way that will allow Metro to adopt it easier. That's not to say that we shouldn't consider the rights issue, because maybe they are rights, and maybe we actually do want WMATA to step up when those rights are infringed. But it's there's sort of two sides of the spectrum there that should be considered probably.
Right. Does anyone else have any closing thoughts on this? This piece.
Not closing yet.
Or close on the Bill of Rights piece.
It's related to Bill of Rights. In looking quickly at what was there, that is a step too general from what I heard stated. Because what I had written down in listening was that if there's a disruption, this is what will happen using various forms of messaging. Then I said, define rules of engagement for WMATA with customers in emergencies. And that gets specifically to what we were asked to deal with. It's in the context of, I think there should be Bill of Rights that cover other things, but I'd like not to wait for something that could take years to get. Mm-hmm. And work to get some very specific things that are common definitions, common response that people can learn, more people will know.
Carol, well, is this on Bill of Rights?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it would be difficult for us to agree on what would be involved in the Bill of Rights. The thing that I like about that term is that it has an instant recognition. All of the other words that come to my mind, like covenant, which sounds religious, compact, you know, which people don't necessarily immediately know what it means. It seems that what we're saying is that there's we have to find a way of saying there's a relationship between WMATA and its customers, and that something has to be written down. I would not necessarily say that the Bill of Rights would have to say that if you're going to be in the delayed for an hour, you get bottled water or refund. But I think in terms of communication, you know, absent something really dire happening, there could be firm expectations of what will happen. So I guess I don't see the necessary, you know, necessarily. Maybe the Bill of Rights is not the ideal, but I think it's good because it has instant recognition with various levels of the riding public.
Deborah?
Two things. If we have the Bill of Rights set up for the passengers to know what to expect, and number one is, where will we put Bill of Rights? Will we put it in their brochure, or will it frame them up on every station, every one of 86 stations? That's another issue to think about.
Good points, all. I think I'm going to amend my, it's a subcommittee, so we're a little less formal. Change the paragraph to, we also support the development of a passenger's Bill of Rights that clearly encapsulates these issues, parentheses, referring to the letter, and others, as well as develops expectations and standards to inform passengers about what to expect from their experience, expect future correspondence. Does that capture the Bill of Rights discussion?
I got lost in the convolution somewhere of the sentence.
We can clean that up.
Well, we can clean that up.
Yeah. General, does that?
I wanted to stay with expectations because, to play the devil's advocate, if you talk about standards, Metro has standards. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what I mean? I mean, I think what I want to know is, what do I have a right to expect when I set foot on the bus or the train or in the station? And that's not standards.
Perhaps standards is a separate discussion of what we feel is appropriate. But I think I agree with you. I fear if we set standards, we will do so in a vacuum that is not as informed with as with some of the technical side. Deborah, and then I'm sorry, I missed your name.
Tap. According to ADA, the American Disability Act, that we have, and that's pretty much what Metro follows for people with disabilities. It's pretty much specified that what is required in case of emergency, in case of accessibility, in case of language or visual deficiency or whatever it is, you know, you got to have a signage and all that thing. It's pretty much there at the Act. Now, I don't know if you meant the Bill of Acts according to the law that's already specified for passengers taking bus and rails, or is the law of the OMATA, or is it for the transportation department? What is it exactly? I'm not sure what we are talking about here. Bill of Rights for what? The human rights? You got to evacuate safety. That's the biggest human rights. You know, it's for everybody, it's a law. It's a required part of the human rights. Mm-hmm. And if you're in danger, you should provide all kind of, if it's a fire or an accident or derailment, you know, you have to provide all the facilities that to improve the life of the person who is in danger. So evacuations is part of that. Now, are you going to have a details on these things, like, you know, ambulance, there should be, for people with disabilities, should have, if you cannot hear, there should be sign language, somebody interpreting what's going on, yeah. Or people with can't hear or whatever, you know, needed for, brailles written up, the brochures, so person who cannot see can read through, sure. Brailles. These are the details, of course, you could have that. That's a requirement. Is that the right you're talking about? I'm not sure.
I think we're looking at the more at right now at the expectations of riders entering the system. What if I am entering the system and paying? What do I expect to get? Communication after, you know, delays announced after 10 minutes, you know, that sort of thing. And that both is encapsulated by safety issues. And non-safety issues, operational things. I think we are paying for clean trains and, you know, that sort of thing. So,
yeah. Do you think the WMATA has that already in the system? Has anybody asked the staff? They don't have that? Okay, any WMATA staff can answer here? Anybody here? What do you think? Yeah, you.
I don't know that it's expressed as a passenger guarantee or there might. I think they probably have a pledge somewhere, but I think our point is we want some more details.
Okay.
Behind
it. Okay. That's so, fine.
Deborah?
You may want to check with the Office of Civil Rights in WMATA to see if they have some policy similar to what Mr. Chapman,
sure.
has been speaking about. Another thing that you may want to consider phrase, reasonable level of expectation. You might want to use that phrase to include in that. Right.
I do think a reasonable level of expectations is important. So I'd like to move on from the Bill of Rights discussion. We've kind of agreed. I think we can frame a paragraph based on this discussion and what I propose, and John and I can make minor tweaks for readability if everyone's comfortable with that. I would like to move on and see if we can add some suggestions on these specific questions now and then related to, that would be on page 4, related to, and perhaps we just go through them one by one, providing no one else has any edits to the letter earlier than that. We can jump right into what is the best communications channel, brochure, video announcements for riders to learn in advance about emergency preparedness? And what should it look like? Top 10 things you need to know. The public can comment if they like it. This.
Top of page 4.
Top of page 4. We're adding suggestions to each question posed by WMATA staff so that as they redesign these materials, they know what riders want and need. We are talking about right. And there's probably things on this board that you don't need to know in advance. For instance, maybe the map doesn't need to be on there since it's always on the facing panel. That might be a suggestion, just a thought.
I don't.
Except it isn't sometimes.
I don't know if it's been updated recently, but a few months ago I was looking for this kind of stuff on WMATA's website, and the brochures they had on there were extremely outdated. There was like some kind of mascot on them or something. I mean, we're talking 90s.
Okay.
So maybe the website stuff could be updated more frequently. That would, and they haven't changed since the 70s. To answer your question, the website, as WMATA says, is their first point of contact for all everything. So obviously put that more prominently on the website.
I agree that the website should be updated, but I think for the casual user entering the system, what is the best channel to reach in advance? Is it better signage in the stations while they're waiting? Is it take one brochures from the station managers? Is it a YouTube that they put up? My experience with governmental YouTubes is that most of them don't get watched, but Kurt?
Well, okay, so I'm first going to make
Chris's point. If any of you have been to Union Station lately, Amtrak has these safety videos and emergency evacuation videos that play on a continuous loop.
Right.
It's kind of a nuisance because they truly play on a continuous loop, and if you spend like an hour waiting for a train, you will see it about 10 times. But that would probably go along, because Carl, the one thing is when you talk about casual users and then anything that requires any sort of advanced planning, like going to WMATA.com and right. reading something or watching a YouTube video, et cetera, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if you can grab people's attention with, you know, a little 30-second thing that's playing on the new screens that are at the kiosks, that may help slightly. But no, I mean, even that, I mean, nobody's going to read that. So, I mean, the only thing that's going to help, despite the derision from some people, is really big, bold, glow-in-the-dark stickers. I mean, unfortunately, we're dealing with people who are, they don't have, you know, any background with the system, especially if we're talking about the tourists. They're not going to bother reading that thing. They probably don't know their way around a train very well. You have to address very basic issues first, like stay on the train and wait for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that you want to reach with more detailed information are the commuters, and this is something WMATA does not have that other transit authorities do, is things like more detailed videos. What will actually happen in the event of an evacuation? You know, and if we're specifically talking about emergency preparedness, then the big thing would be an evacuation. And that's where you really get into all of the details. What happens if you are evacuating up on the aerial structure out at Rhode Island Avenue, which is the highest point on the system?
Sure.
You know, that's unpleasant. What happens if you're down at Forest Glen, which is the deepest point in the system? What happens if you're under the river? That's going to be fun.
I think you walk out. That's
Well, exactly. but that's the thing, is you can get into that level of detail.
So what I'm hearing from you, since we're focused on, I apologize for not maybe prefacing this maybe more clearly. Perhaps this piece, I think, let's talk about in advance before we get into the station, because I think they're like videos and that sort of thing. The third question is when you're in the system and there's an incident. So if we're focusing on the things in advance, I heard videos describing the variety of scenarios where there are evacuations. Marianne, then Deborah, then Carol.
I'm first. I'm hearing different groups of people need different things. The casual rider, the tourist, they do get information in coming to DC from their hotel, other things. They get the map, which they're frantically trying to read. How do we even get on and off this system? So they might actually read something like this if it's in a language they can read. The regular rider does need something different. And so if we can't answer all of it in the letter, I think we need to make it very clear that we're only answering this, and there are all these other circumstances that we need to, WMATA and all of us need to address.
Sure. I agree with that. Deborah?
There is no one size fit for all.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
One of the ideas I like to suggest, Deborah Mata is ready to listen. How about communicating with the county cable to see if they are ready to post a public address announcement for free? Is that possible? I mean, through a county. Fairfax County, Prince George's, Prince William, City of Arlington, County of Arlington, City of Alexandria, to see if you can cooperate with them, to see that you can put on emergency procedure through the cable system.
Okay, so like on TV. You're saying on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Carol, Kara.
Okay. Again, hitchhiking onto something Deborah just said. What about hotel TV sets? You know, in other words, in hotel, TV screens. You know how they have a TV channel, a hotel TV channel. I think there's a couple of things that can be done. First of all, I think the wallet-sized cards, which I think was mentioned at the last Riders Advisory Council meeting, and maybe you could have, rider-sized, laminated wallet-sized cards, not rider-sized cards, wallet-sized cards, that you could hand out in lots of venues. And you could even hand them out in, say, several languages. Take the two most popular languages and then say if you need them in a different language, let people know how to do that. I think the answer to the first question is all of the above. We need to communicate in every single way that we can. And the other thing, and I'm really conscious of this because I'm going to New York this week and haven't ridden a subway there for years, and when I went up to do some trip planning, one of the things I was struck by was that the New York subway has a single, they have a website and they have a trip plan and blah, blah, blah. I think our trip planning tool is better than theirs, but one of the things they definitely have is they have a number that you can call, a default three-digit number. You can call 511 if all else fails, And so I think I know this has come up before as a security measure, but I really think that having a three-digit number where people could call would be very helpful, so you could get advance information. And I'm not certain. I don't know that I agree with what was said earlier. That yes, you do need to know how to evacuate, but there are other things that happen in the subway that are less than evacuation that you need to know how to handle.
So can I put you on
like
hold on
crowding?
That?
Crowding.
Right. Can I put you on hold on that thought until the next piece?
Okay.
So, Kara.
So I agree with basically everything that's been said. And again, when we're talking about the video and what the Kurt said about the Amtrak thing playing over and over again, it's like the same thing when we get on an airplane. We already know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you can use this as a life vest. We've become so accustomed to that, we already know because we've been on the airplanes before. So I think videos, maybe different levels of videos, an evacuation video, an overcrowding video, scenarios where you see all these people on a train and then you say like super easy basic stuff, like videos that you would see in school for anything. I think there should be videos, again, video, brochure, announcements, everything, but also with different levels. The announcements, that's difficult, obviously, like with what he was saying, the PA systems are not always working, so I don't necessarily know what people would listen to, if they heard an announcement. And most importantly, yes, the number. I think it should be a much easier number. Right now it's 2023. So it's that's like you don't even – it does. And I've never called it, so I don't even know if it's of any use to even use the number. So, but
– right. I'm kind of hearing two things. The first thing I would say is I think maybe we should add, unless, John, you were just kind of adding as we were going. Maybe not. So, I think that's John's gentle hint that we should stay on topic. I think, let me just, before Ben speaks, say that I think we should add in a bullet that says we believe videos are a good communication tool and they should be developed for different scenarios for frequent riders, and a more concise version that is can be distributed or made available for tourists. Does that capture the video piece that we've all been mentioning? Yes. Deborah, yes. Yeah. Marianne, yes. Carol? Okay. So let's do that for the videos. I think we should also mention that we want consistency in communication across methods. So if there is a sign, if the video is 30 seconds and covers 6 talking points, those same 6 talking points exactly should be the ones that are on the sign in the station. Are we comfortable with saying that too?
I don't know what you mean, but that's okay.
We didn't talk about signs in the station, but I think
consistent.
They don't see it in a hotel room. If they don't see it wherever they're going to see it, and obviously I don't think that they're going to flush out a whole bunch of money for new LCDs and not get a station, but I think that a sign should be
Okay. Ben, did you have a thought?
In terms of what people need to know in advance of going to the station, we've already talked about these are the common denominator in all of these is that they're passive media. They're things that people have to actually go and search out. They're not things that Metro is doing to get people where they are. I think it would be really helpful for WMATA to have a standard of reaching out to people on emergency preparedness through social media, through interviews with TV, radio outlets that reach a certain number of people in each jurisdiction every quarter, every year, every half year, something like that, that says, okay, we Metro have gone out and, okay, we didn't produce a video that was seen by X number of people, but we went and we had, we posted it on the Planet Metro blog and it had X number of hits. We went to WTOP and it was heard by X number of people. So trying to quantify, again, for frequent riders who are going to be watching TV and listening to the radio and going down the internet anyway, quantifying how many people have seen this emergency information sure. in a certain time period.
So perhaps what I'm hearing from you is that we should add in that one good communications channel that we do not feel is being used yet for emergency preparedness would be like presence at street festival, outreach at stations, like where WMATA is driving, is going to people to hand out materials or,
That's one piece of it. I think it can be measured. Right. It can be measured in terms of we've reached X number of people because if you put a passive video up there, you can probably count how many people see it, but it's not the same as going out to people where they are. And it's going to be repetitive in a certain sense, but that's going to depend on WMATA to actually innovate in terms of how it crafts that same message over and over again.
But I think the point here is that I'm not pushing back on you.
No, please.
I think they get that they need to reach out more. The question is, what is the best way to do so?
Through TV stories, through radio stories, interviews with WMATA staff.
Top two, Ben. Top two ways you would like to learn about emergency preparedness. I think that's.
I'd like to learn. I mean, it's
all of the above is a very easy answer, and they want to do that, but we need to give them some focus.
It's a soft media story, where, you know, reporters are lazy and they like pre-cooked stuff. So when Metro can go and create it, so it looks like, okay, Fox 5 News is doing a story on emergency preparedness at Metro that basically repeats all of the things that people need to do in an emergency, that's the kind of thing that I want Metro to do. Okay. So TV news stories and radio news stories, those are my top two. Right. I'm sure there's some media term for this.
But I think the point that Ben made is very important. Is what I resonated with me is Metro should have a bottom line target every quarter. We will reach out to X number of people every quarter to get these messages to. I think that's a very important. I don't know how you can integrate that, but I think that's very important because that will accumulate so that. You know, if something happens in the Metro at some point, you're going to have a certain number of people, which hopefully will reach critical mass, who have some notion of what's going on and what to do. I think holding them accountable by numbers, you know, in some of the ways that he mentioned is the real message I get out of what you were saying.
Yeah. Marianne, Deborah.
Yeah. I'm also agreeing with that, and part of what that outreach can do, you know, the police department goes to schools and other kinds of things. Mm-hmm. The TV stations now have very active WMATA reporters. I watch two of them almost every day because they're on every day. Mm-hmm. So it is something where there is visibility possible. WMATA is trying to get tourists to take the rails or the buses. And so what are the outlets they're using or should be using just because they're trying to sell their services and have it include Metro Rail safety? It's just an added piece which you could measure.
Okay. So I'm hearing mainstream media outreach and, like, attendance at events, it sounds like, as well.
No, but it's setting a goal to reach X number of people per quarter by.
Okay.
I think that's the key is the number of people.
I think that's the next piece. If there aren't any other thoughts on the, oh, Deborah. Sorry.
Ben was talking about music, TV and radio. Is TV, you mean network TV, a webcast? Is that
anything? Well, I think like broadcast TV is what folks are talking about here.
Have you thought about webcast?
I think that's a good idea to, I also think they should do like an emergency preparedness day and like, not saying we need to evacuate a train, that'll probably happen anyways, but have some sort of exercise or, you know, heavy targeted outreach. So maybe we'll include that as well. Okay. Let's move on to John. Do we have enough notes on that topic?
I think so.
Okay. Forewarning, we might run past 7:30, folks. But we will. I think this is productive discussion. Exactly what we were trying to foster with the subcommittee proposal. Next question we're going to look at is, what do riders want to know before they're caught in an emergency situation? So I think here we're talking about the content on the vehicles we just discussed. And like Cara mentioned, the content of the outreach prior to entering the system. And then I think the last question we'll do is content of the outreach in the system. So that'll be the sign and announcements and that sort of thing. Oh, I did forget one thing in the for the last section, and that is that I think that there should be a Twitter presence or some sort of staff communications presence at all hours that the Metro is open. Okay. At all hours that the Metro is open.
That's so funny. I thought that there was.
I think that there's like, I mean, I think they generate Metro alerts at some point, but I mean, like, Twitter a lot is not active. And I mean, I use that as a vehicle for communication. So unless there are objections,
and
I might suggest.
Information closes at
right.
8, I believe. Doesn't it close at 8?
Yeah, 8. I think so. I mean, that's a, that might be a larger ask for the future, just because this would be like one guy, or, you know, versus, I mean, I think they probably have to, I don't think customer information center should be open until 3 a.m. That's my point. That's a good question.
The emails and automated tweets both come out from central control. Yeah.
Gotcha. So I think an emphasis on that. That would be my, okay. So back to, what do riders want to know before they're caught in an emergency situation? Are we talking, hold on. Okay, so we can just open the discussion. Chris, if you'd like to, and Kurt, if you'd like to come up. And
so I kind of asked this question on Twitter, and it leaves imperfectly. WMATA already has a system, Metro Alerts, which when used properly is great to answer both this question and the next question. The problem is it's not used properly, and number two, there's a severe lack of cell service.
Okay, so let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
How can we make, what do we need to include in Metro Alerts to make them more user-friendly?
Well, the Metro Alerts are mostly automated, so if they don't even report that there's a problem, the Metro Alert doesn't go out.
Okay.
So, and again,
so aside from the fact that they aren't going out, okay. Like, I think everyone recognizes there is not...
Specifically, at 7:02, they tweet and send a Metro Alert saying there was a train malfunction. That situation lasted 3.5 hours. So if you're headed to Metro 3 hours later, you have no idea there's a problem.
So maybe the request here is, if there is an incident involving a delay more than 20 minutes...
No, 20 is too long.
10 minutes, more than 15 minutes.
Their threshold now is 11 minutes.
If there's an incident lasting more than 11 minutes, there should be, we would like updates every...
X minutes.
30 minutes or until the incident is cleared. And I mean, they do that for a lot of incidents because I get the alerts, but
when
not all of them.
When there's someone manning the account. Otherwise, it just sits there as a delay.
Sure.
And they never give you information. But I want to make one final point, and then I'll go back.
Okay.
And I asked people on Twitter, what do they want? And everyone has responded to me, I need to tell my boss I'm going to be late. There is hardly any communication in tunnels. And every time someone asks WMATA, why don't I have cell service here? WMATA says, call your carrier. And that is a BS answer, and it's not good enough. And WMATA needs to get on board with providing cell service in their tunnels. And then everything else falls into place. You can get the tweets. You can get the Metro alerts. All the stuff that they're already doing, but not providing riders the ability to get.
Well, I think, I mean, I don't think anyone will debate you that we need cell service in the tunnels for a variety of reasons, convenience and emergency preparedness. I mean, that's not something that Lynn Bowersox is going to go out and install cables on Saturday night to make it happen.
No,
so,
but they're already 6 months behind when it was supposed to be done.
Get that. I completely agree. They shouldn't be behind. I'm just trying to look at things that are in our control and not, you know.
Well, I mean, do you want to talk about what's going to happen in the next year? Because supposedly they'll have self-service in a year. Or you want to talk about when the 4000 series cars are going to be replaced fixing the PA issues in 8 years? I mean, what's the time frame of solutions you're looking for?
Forever. Fair point. Okay, that's helpful. Kurt? And then we'll get to Deborah and
So again, I mean, the it's sort of a broad question that you have here, and I guess the answer, I mean, you know, John was throwing out a whole bunch of things, and my first reaction was, well, I want all of those. But the issue is, there's a concept in interaction design known as progressive disclosure, which basically means that you give people only a certain amount of information at any given point in time. And you see this in wayfinding systems, for example. So you don't list every destination that you can get to from somewhere. You just give them a general direction, and then they get to another decision point, and then you give them a little bit more specificity, and so on. And so you don't overwhelm them up front with every possible place they can go. Similarly, when we're talking about emergencies, for example, and I apologize for not having brought handouts, but on the London Underground, they use signs like these that light up and say, emergency, do not enter. And they have an alarm and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's a really intelligent sort of solution, and we don't have anything like that here. And so one of the things that happens is you have stations like Metro Center and Gallery Place in particular that get backed up very quickly, and there is some sort of situation, and people just keep pouring into the station. And so, I mean, again, coming back to the notion of progressive disclosure, they don't need to know the exact details at this point. All they need to know is basically the metro is broken, you know, and so, you know, if you're not in the system yet, at a certain point, you just need to be told you're not going to take metro home from this station. You know, walk to another station, go get on Capital Bike Share, take a bus, just, you know, it's not going to happen.
So maybe the suggestion we had to the letter is, for what do our riders want to know before they're caught in an emergency situation? They want advance notice before entering stations. Even, you know, they have the little stickers they put on the fare gate sometimes when there's an incident that say, hold on, pay attention. But maybe the ask is a simple, there's a problem or not a problem for major incidents at the top of the escalator before right. people enter. Does that kind of sound good to everyone to include?
Right, and if you're dealing with congestion,
or a sign could be put up, and then you know.
Right, and if you're dealing with congestion or an evacuation or whatever, you don't want to rope off the entrance. Really, you want to just control the flow of people. But the thing is, like I said, all of the things that John mentioned, those are all good things, and people need to know all of them. It's just present it in sort of a hierarchy. So you start with metro is broken, and then find the right way to sort of break that out into finer grained pieces of information. And like Chris said, part of it is repeating that message. So it's metro is still broken. And then, you know, you break that down into the littler bits and pieces, because maybe it's just the red line. And that's where it sort of breaks down now, is people don't get that message.
Okay. So clearer, simple communication prior to entry to the system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And not necessarily, you know, the whole list.
Right, because that's one of the problems with the new displays is that, particularly at underground stations, they're all the way down at the fare gates. And
right.
that's, you know, two or three banks of escalators down at some of these stations. And you get considerable congestion outside the fare gates. And we don't need a whole other monitor up there. We just need to tell people
sure.
there's a major incident.
Okay.
You really shouldn't go underground.
So Deborah, Carol, Marianne.
We all the metro stations have electric message boards. I've seen the announcement keep repeated, even if it's an emergency. You does not announce it on time. You might want to think about the way they send out the message on the electric message board.
Okay. Let's add that to the third question, because that's in the stations. Carol.
Well,
what do they want to know before what do you want to know before you're caught in an emergency situation?
See, I mean, the answer partly bleeds into one, which is people need to have a plan B before they leave their homes. Okay? People need to know, this is what my plan is to get downtown today, but just in case, this is the other plan. And I don't know if this is really feasible, but it seems to me that it would be great. The ideal would be, before I went down into the station, to say, you know, use the some kind of signage to say you don't go down there. But I think right from the get-go, you have to make it clear, is it confined to what line? That you know, that's, I think you need to at least give that information. And then the other things that might be helpful is, what are the alternatives? Like, for example, what they do, what they've done today, you know, with several activities going on downtown. They give you alternatives. Yes, the nearest metro was Capitol South to the rally, but you have other stations, and somehow you need to know how far they are away from where your destination is. So if I went to go somewhere and I couldn't get into the station I'm used to, I'd like to know how much of a walk is it to the next station, or what bus line would take me there. And I don't know what means that I, you know, would have to do it. But I also want to go back to something that was said during just a while ago. What about the person who does not tweet, who is not online, you know, who doesn't have a smartphone, who may have a cell phone but not a smartphone? Okay. To me, I would like to see a system that person can also know, have a number to call and find out what's going on. Because the more people, it would seem to me that the more people who know what's going on, the less likely it is for them to panic. But the fewer people who know what's going on, the more likely it is for people to either panic and or self-evacuate. Yeah, I mean, yes, but you can't get it. But isn't that all? You can't get a live human being.
You can.
You can. Okay.
Okay. But when you're saying 60, but that is not a 24-hour number for real-time information. I don't believe 6377000 isn't it, you know, after a certain time you're not going to be. That's what I'm talking about.
So maybe the if I can jump in.
Yeah.
So on the second piece, maybe the ask is like a number where you know you're not going to get a live person, but you can call it.
And see the update
out the red
same
line,
information you're getting on the tweet via tweet,
sure.
and these other things. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I know that's definitely happened to me, and that's a frightening thought, being unfamiliar and, you know, in an unfamiliar place in the dark, and I don't know what I'm.
I think we can play that game forever, but yeah, go ahead.
The other portion of the discussion is, if you're on the blue line going to the red line, the incident is red line. You need to have a way to find out when you're getting at Metro Center that you aren't going to be able to get upstairs, or when you are, what is going on. And so it goes again to the message boards that exist that are caught up with other information, as Deborah had said, rather than some real time when there is a breakdown that would tell blue line, red line isn't running.
Right. So I think that's a good point. I want to expand on it in the next section. On the plan B issue, I do think that there's a big gap in people knowing alternatives, and one thing I would like to see Metro provide on a station-specific basis is possibly as part of the sign that is posted before you get into the system that says, are you going toward Shady Grove? Catch this bus. Are you... Right. So something that is hard copy either to look at or take.
Shady Grove to the person who just came here, and you know, what
right.
does that mean?
Right.
Or more likely, they may have been told by somebody, you get on the train that says Shady Grove, mm-hmm. but what happens when the train says, what's that, Grosvenor? You know, or if somebody is all fired up to get on that train and it says Glenmark, what's Silver Spring? What is that? So, I mean,
right.
you know, those are the kinds of things that really need to be made very clear.
So station-specific plan B alternatives outlined in some place other than online is what I'm hearing. Well, but I'm talking, yeah. Fair point. That's a fair point. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of station manager because there's a lot that can be improved. There's a lot of good that happens. There's a lot that can be improved. Deborah?
No, that's okay.
Okay. So for what do we want riders to know before they're caught in an emergency situation, I'm hearing simple communications about the status of the system if there are major delays prior to entry, and also hearing clear and specific, station-specific plan B alternatives outlined in a simple fashion. And I realize that could get very complex of, you know, but within reason. Any other, and then the other things that John mentioned, I believe you mentioned.
Did you want to mention so they don't come from me?
No, did you include just now the idea of a phone?
The phone, some sort of better phone thing that can be updated. And I actually didn't write down what you mentioned, John, but I thought it was good when you said it.
Really, do you think it's helpful to know
I would say how to the other thing that would be helpful. What is happening, and I do think that how to report is a good point. I was going to say what to do if your station is overcrowded or something like that. You know, how to report. One thing Lynn Bowersox mentioned was that it is very helpful when people tweet about problems in the system like crowding because they are able to monitor that. Right. So we already addressed that point earlier, but how to report a significant problem is how do you differentiate, how do you keep everyone from saying, you know, reporting a 5-minute delay versus how do you report something that is significant like or is a serious safety concern. So you're relying on a little bit of rider discretion there, but I do think there should be some vehicle other than Twitter to report safety concern, like on the, not a, oh, this door is, you know, the lock is broken or this escalator is you know, stopped, but, you know, a more serious, the station is crowding. Deborah?
About the security concern related to overcrowding. I don't know if I jump ahead, but we need to think about have a right people to monitor and to work with the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to that in a second. Any other thoughts on what you want to know before, other than Plan B and better communications of that, simple communications up front?
An easier number.
Yeah.
Well, but you're talking more about you're talking about emergency number, right? You're not.
Or the other number that you said, like what do you call?
Right.
The
right, right.
Right. Right. I'm talking about that. Yeah, but earlier I had mentioned just like a 511 rather than that. Right.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. To close this out, Kurt, do you have any?
I'll be very brief, and thank you, John, for the CTA thing, by the way. I
made this pitch to Ben after the last meeting, and I will make it again here. There is one number which is nationally designated for transit and transportation information, and that is 511.
Oh, is that what that number is? Exactly.
Okay. There is no, I mean, there's really no need to debate what the number should be. There's no need to debate, you know, the problem is Maryland has a 511 system that will transfer you to the WMATA customer service number. Virginia 511, last time I tried it, denies that mass transit exists because it's run by VDOT, and so it will give you road conditions. Mm-hmm. In New York State, they've been very progressive about their 511 implementation, and so it's very well integrated with transit and the whole spectrum of transportation modes. So this is, unfortunately, it's a much broader thing to get into, because what we need, and in fact, I wrote a post for Greater Greater Washington about this a while back, what we need is a regional 511 system, which has been done in other places, but only across county lines, like out in California. It's never been done across state lines, to the best of my knowledge. So, like everything else at WMATA, it's made much harder by the nature of the system. But if we really want to do it right, that's it.
Right.
511.
So I.
Sure.
Yeah.
What happens in New York, since you've got a few other states around where people are commuting? Is it just not the mass transit, so it's not an issue? But, you know, people coming from New Jersey and I suppose some Connecticut and stuff?
Well, if you're outside New York State and you call 511, you're not going to get New York 511. So, I mean, there is a blind spot there. But, I mean, generally speaking, if you're within New York State, you'll get New York 511. And then you can get either roads or transit or any of the various modes. Okay. Right, right. I mean, and again, they have their own regional sort of issues. But and then, of course, I mean, the other thing is for dire emergencies, and I made this point to Ben at the last meeting as well, you should be able to dial 911 and have them transfer you to a Metro Transit police dispatcher without it taking 5 or 10 minutes. And there have been some reports of that handoff being fairly glitchy. And that's why we have the 10-digit number being played over and over again in stations. So that should be fixed, because most people are not going to remember 202-962-2121, unfortunately.
Lucky you do, though.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so as far as before caught in an emergency situation, I think we're kind of done there. Some of the issues, I think we can go back and integrate from the prior comments about specific information about different types of incidents and how to respond. I mean, I think that's what riders want to know as well, instead of just the lead up, but, you know, provided on the YouTube of how to get down from, you know, what happens if there's overcrowding, what happens if there's an evacuation, that sort of thing. And tied in with those communications, I do think there should be some sort of metric of this is what Metro is doing to resolve it, as kind of John put up there, and how to, so you know what to expect.
Not reading the content, but the issues that are in the brochure is the right categories. I'm not sure that it says the right thing, you know, in terms of,
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at the English version of Metro Rail Safety.
But you know what strikes me as interesting about this? And it goes to the point that Fred Walker made at the last RAC meeting. This is all about Metro. This is not about the customer.
Well, that may be.
I mean, in other words, it's sort of telling it's the flip side of the whole Bill of Rights. It's about what Metro expects me to do, like
to be a good
if
passenger.
I fall when a train is entering, roll beneath the platform. You know, it call out for help. I mean. You know,
right. but the reverse.
But it's not saying what is Metro going to do if I fall beneath the platform and don't have the presence of mind to not touch the third rail and all that stuff. I mean, it's just very interesting to me that this is a brochure.
So maybe
it needs. Do you see what I'm saying? It goes back to it's not saying what Metro is doing to ensure customer safety.
So can the
I'm not saying, I'm only saying, John, that this is an example of being focused on, I can't explain it, but it just strikes me as being the wrong perspective.
It may be the wrong perspective, but it has the right categories when it says what are the things you want to know.
Yes, but it's entirely too wordy.
Oh, not blessing this other than the question is what is the information if we need the categories. This was not a bad set of categories.
So maybe I would say the information in the brochures need to be updated. I think we can all agree that that should be included in our list. And the information simplified if possible, and also say what Metro does in those situations, I suppose, if there's something Metro is
doing. Right, and if, for example, I mean, it's just a very poorly written brochure, because if, for example, falling from the platform to the track bed is rare, don't start off by talking about it. That's kind of, if I, you know, I think I would read that and close the brochure.
Though, I would say, arguably, Carol, that most of the other things on this list, other than emergency doors, are self-explanatory. And people wouldn't, they know how to board a train. You take anyone who's never seen a train and the door's open and I'm sure they'll figure out where the door is. I would say most people do not know or wouldn't necessarily know that. So I would say that's, if they only took one piece of information from this, I would say most of the other stuff is intuitive.
Not for any tourist, and not for half the people that haven't had coffee in the morning.
Well, and that's a fair point. I do agree with that, Marion. So some sort of simplified, cleaner thing.
Yeah.
I would also say that there is value to making two sets of brochures, one for people who, just because D.C. is such a tourist town, one for people who are familiar with the system, one who are not. I would also say that anything that you have to open, I don't like. I like one, if this was my choice, I would find a way to make it fit on one, what is this, like a 3 by 8.5 sheet front and back. So that you can take it, look at both sides, and you're done. And I know that not all the information can fit there, but
stick it with the map, and then people would actually have it.
And I think some of it is with the map, but not all of it. And I do think there's a larger question there.
First of all, they don't have it.
And distribution throughout the stations, which they might be already, but I certainly don't know. Deborah?
Yeah. If they are. Says something about fire at the Quincy. How many people know how to use it? Because it's not easy to pull and spray. I've done that before during the training. So I think it needs to be clarified.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, too. Okay, this is kind of, we're well into the discussion. The question, as a reminder, now we're looking at is, are there specific improvements that can be made? This says to onboard, we'll clarify to onboard or in the stations, how to evacuation signage and other onboard communications. So I think a very clear, obvious, just to get it out of the way, clear communication from the train operator is important, conveying updates about the status of the system, the status of the emergency. So let's go ahead and include that, and we can kind of cross that off the list. Let's just go to the public real fast, and then Kara, and
quick. You know that brochure went through like 8 lawyers, right? That's written in lawyer speak, so good luck. But the second issue, and it has to do with onboard communications, I see over and over and over and over again, people assume that because the WMATA police have a 10-digit phone number that you can text it. You cannot text it. So if you're in a was it 7 by 75 foot tin can with someone who's doing something crazy, you can't exactly pick up the phone and say, oh, hey, Wamana Police, they're doing this. But you can text them, but that number doesn't accept text messages. So that's the other thing that could really be improved. Yes.
So thank you, Chris. I think tied to that, I would suggest that we include a bullet that says we support figuring out the three-digit phone number issue, because that is important for reporting emergencies and that sort of thing. And I agree. I think that it would. I mean, getting three-digit to accept text is like super complicated, apparently. But perhaps a text to report number. I know DC Police Department has a text to report number, and they don't report anything back because I once reported something. But it was a good thing because it was not an emergency after all. But a text to report an emergency number that can be included on things, I think I'm comfortable including that suggestion if everyone else is. That says you may not get a response. I mean, just because they might get 1,000 text messages. Deborah?
About the text. Maybe other time we can talk about, see how D.C., Maryland, and Virginia receive the text. We need to talk with the East County.
Well, like 911 can't receive texts right now. And I think that's like something that they're trying to do, but it's one of those projects that's, you know, 10 years out or something like that.
Excuse me, I thought we have an E-911, enhanced 911 that's in the process, or it's working already.
I guess I just don't know. Okay. We can suggest that.
Well, last year I found out at FCC, DC has an E-911, it's working now. It's working. That's what I learned from the exhibitor. And Fairfax County is working too. You may want to double check.
Okay. Well, we could say for that bullet, either have the ability for some sort of texting to the Metro emergency three number, digit number, the 511, if that's even a possibility. And if not, another number that is known or easy to remember. You know, true. Cara.
So I know I've mentioned this before, in other conversations we've had about like the lack of representatives of Metro during an incident. We may see one, but obviously one for 1,000 people is not going to really do anything. And I always suggested that there should be, and I know this may sound crazy, but there are people who love to volunteer. And, I mean, there are, when there's other larger disasters, there are, I forgot what they're called. Yeah, first responders,
well,
but DART
like
or something
like
that.
Emergency response
right.
corps sort of thing.
Right. But if there was something that was more specific to Metro, and maybe they don't come to respond to a incident, but they're just there on a daily basis, you know? And I know that sounds like really far-fetched, but I know, because I volunteer a lot, that there are people who are, you know, dedicated volunteers who just like to give out information. They like to be involved. So, and I feel if they were there, they could help spread that word of whatever the station manager information they're getting. Like they could have, you know, walkie-talkies, cell phones, whatever, and yellow vests, and just be there. And then when there's not an emergency, I'm sure they could still come in, you know, be useful. Yeah. But I just think I think there should be more paid employees at every Metro stop, but that's something else. And if that's going to take too long and unions and all that stuff, then I feel like this is an easy way to counteract that, the lack of people.
Okay. Is everyone comfortable with including like a suggestion to, we think that volunteer ambassadors for the Metro would be valuable in, I don't know, emergency situations? situations. I don't know.
No, I think, I think it should be a volunteer emergency response cadre. They could be, you know, they could be trained. And I mentioned that at the last WRAC meeting. I noticed that Lynn Barisarz didn't really respond to that. But I think that's...
Well, I do think there are liability issues. I do think that there are issues with, you know, what they would cover and rider expectations. If they see someone in a... They see someone in a yellow vest, they're going to expect a lot of answers, think they're a WMATA employee.
Well,
but I do think that there could be some value, so maybe we include it as we do think this idea has some merit and is worthy of further exploration.
Right. I think that they need to explore it, because obviously if the liability, if the legal liability issues outweigh you know, the benefit that could be gotten. But it's another way of having people invest in this major economic driver of our region.
And, I mean, of course, they can sign something. I mean, all those volunteers, they have to sign something. So regardless, I mean, at least they can, Metro can have some sort of paper that covers whatever they need to cover. And I just forgot what I was going to say. But, again, for the people who don't have cell phones, for the people who are disabled, this is another an added option for those people who need that extra thing, that may not be able to see the sign or make it to the sign. And, you know, especially in a crowded station when there's one sign, I mean, there's thousands of people, how can you see one sign? Mm-hmm. You have megaphones, you know, something, I don't know. But I feel also that the station managers need to have better training. I mean, that's a duh, like we all know that, and that should be really implemented.
I agree. I think everyone will agree that. Other specific improvements, I do think we should, I think, if we, maybe we should, this would be a good time to turn to, as we've talked about verbal communications and personnel communications, this might be a good time to turn to, I do want to readdress something Mary Ann raised about the public information displays, the PIDs, the signs. I know that they can't make those more station-specific than they are now, which is why I think it – is it by line, John, or is it just the whole thing?
I don't know.
But the long-term plan is, like, station-specific, like they have at the front. But I do think that additional information on transfers and, you know –
Yeah, a question with that is they do put some delays up, but not on a very timely basis. Also, the operators, and it may be that they're moving too fast to be able to get that information. But if you're on the blue line, is there any way that the operator can report that? Because you aren't necessarily looking at your cell phone all the time you're on the train, mm-hmm. to see that when you get on, there was no problem. You've gone three stations. Now the red line isn't operating. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of a question. I don't know the answer, but if they could, the operators, you're coming in to a station, possibly could help provide information that would allow those that know the system to do a plan B just by saying, mm-hmm. the trains are stuck.
Right. You reminded me of something else, which is that I think I think we should include, this is on the station side, that the new screens, if they can be adopted, I think they do a good job on splashing, you know, red most of the time when there's a delay on the line. But the bottom left corner that shows status of each line, it just says delay or on time, I think, right now. If there, we can get a number associated with, as Chris mentioned, sometimes the delay is 5 hours, or not length of delay, but like the delay, the time that an extra trip will take on that line, I guess would be my point. You know, not like the delay has been going on 4 hours, but it's a 30-minute delay, so.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Other specific improvements that can be, before we get to the signage, which I think is a good thing to talk about, any other specific, station-specific or verbal, or we've talked about tweeting, we've talked about the PIDs, we've talked about the signs at the front, Plan B, brochures, that sort of thing. Anything other than signage in the rail cars?
Yes.
Everyone put their hand up. I thought that was going to be a small universe. Terrell, Marianne, Cara.
Well, just very briefly, I think that it's important that in an emergency that we be able to the customers be able to identify who is in charge. And, you know, maybe there needs to be a special helmet or something that the station manager or whoever's in charge. That was one thing that really was very, to me, was made pretty clear when we had this incident panel communications session in October. And that was definitely a problem with the 2009 fatal crash. Somebody needs to be clearly and visibly in charge, period. I'll just leave it at that.
I would say we should definitely amend the second letter that we're going to talk about tonight. Thanks, everyone, for sticking with us online and here in person. I think this is a great discussion. And we'll try to move to some sort of conclusion here soon. But I think we should add the who's in charge of the second letter. Marianne Cara.
Go ahead.
Or Cara Marianne.
Just to talk about one of the people from the public's point about not being able to understand the operators, maybe there could be some, like what you had mentioned, pre-recorded things. They press a button and it says, you know, train is whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, maybe that's just something.
I know 7000 series is going to have automated announcements. So that
I remember that too when we went to see, but I'm not sure if that's something that they could.
I have an idea on that, but I want to save it till the poster's time, the signage. Marianne?
Yeah, I think I'm just sort of duplicating a bit. I think one either needs to be able to read something that is on time or hear something that's on time, both in the train and in the station. And none of the systems are really made up to be visible, and they certainly can't be heard. And so I don't know if that means you need a backup system for operators or what, but without those things, you can't have on-time instant communication, I don't think.
I would go a little further and mention, too, that we should mention the need to ensure that each station and station kiosk is outfitted with the wireless mic system. Because the few times I've seen them used, they have been very helpful. Members from the public.
So, Marianne, what you described before about train operators giving information on connecting services, that's standard practice on the London Underground. And has been for quite some time. The line controller gives train operators the information. They relay it by PA. It's that simple. It doesn't require any fancy investment in equipment that WMATA doesn't have, et cetera. And so.
So pause. Maybe the suggestion is that announcements going into if there is an emergency or major incident on a transfer station line. It would be helpful if there was some sort of announcement from the train operator going into that station. Because they already say, we're coming in the gallery place, transfer to yellow and green, some sort of standardized, and the green line doesn't exist anymore.
I wouldn't even say make them at transfer stations, just make it standard practice. If there's a disruption anywhere on the network, you hear about it everywhere on the network. So if you board all the way up in Rockville and there's a problem down at Branch Avenue, you should hear about it as soon as you get on that train or while you're on the train. Because from any station, you could be going to any other station. So don't limit it to just transfer stations. I mean, you want to hear about it as soon as possible.
Okay.
So, and the thing is, I mean, and some of that's just reassurance. Because again, you'll hear this on the London Underground. The train operator will say, there is a good service on all London Underground lines. That reassurance, that really helps for people. Now, Carl, I don't know if you were talking about the brochure before, and now you say you're going to move on to signage later, so I don't know if the brochure is still on the table.
Sure.
If it is, the two things I was going to make about that very briefly are, you would be surprised how many people are killed or maimed by incidents at the platform train interface, that is when they're getting on or off the train, every year. It's a serious problem. So how to get on a train may sound silly, but especially when the tourists line up like four or five deep with strollers and luggage and try and cram through one door, that's something where you could put a little blurb in there, spread out.
Mm-hmm.
That whole train's going to the same destination.
Yeah.
You could use two or three doors. And then Chris mentioned the airlines before. If you look at the safety information card, it's all pictograms. And that's the other thing I would say, is really honestly, some of this could be done very simply with some simple diagrams, like, you know, spread out and roll under the niche under the platform edge if you fall in the track. And it doesn't need all that verbiage. I mean, that's like, instead of dealing with like wordsmithing each and every paragraph, just say eliminate the words. And then you can have one little panel with like four or five diagrams. How to board a train, what to do if you fall on the platform, what an evacuation is going to look like, you know, et cetera. I mean, that's like three or four really simple cases, and that's it.
I agree with, I'm fine amending the proposal to include the piece about the disruptions on all lines. I think that's very valuable information. You make a good point on pictures. I mean, I think that's what I mean by simplifying. I mean, you're right, we don't need all those words. And I think the airline industry would be thrilled with how many compliments they're getting today.
I mean, really, it's all about benchmarking. I mean, right. WMATA should benchmark itself against other transit systems, which I'm sure it does, but there's a need to really adopt more of that,
right.
And against other modes as well.
Right. Okay. Chris, yes, please, brief, if possible.
I might slow down now. WMATA has made significant investment in things like Metro Alerts, a Twitter presence, the signage, the TV screens. They've spent money for this stuff. But what's missing is the person at Central Command, whatever it is, Central Control. We need a rider's advocate. Anytime the system is open to close, a rider's advocate in Central Control who knows what's going on and can communicate it through all the methods that WMATA has already spent money to do.
So just, you're talking about a Metro employee.
A body.
Right.
Yeah.
Rider advocate makes it sound like one of us are going to go on there.
Yeah, but everyone in Central Control has all this, I'm working on rail and I'm working on bus and I'm doing that. They need someone focused on communicating with riders.
Well, and that was, I want to say that at the incident communication panel, they said they had adopted that method and maybe it's not being fully utilized.
Or
that person doesn't cover Twitter after a certain time.
Listen, just this week there was a position for a special events coordinator. You look in the career section on WMATA.com and there's all these crazy jobs that they're hiring for here. They need to invest in something radical like how to communicate with riders, and they need that position. They need a person or two or three people to cover the shifts. They need someone who's thinking about us and how to communicate with us using the investments WMATA has already made. That's my only point.
Are you applying, Chris?
Trust me, it wouldn't happen.
Probably right. Let's move on to the signage, which is a big piece here. We're basically talking about there is not a lot of other posted information other than the maps in the metro system, in the train cars. There is a little sign next to the customer call box. And then there is emergency evacuation instructions. So we're talking, I mean, I think everyone would agree that the map only speaks to evacuations, is cluttered. It takes up a ton of space. The typeface is small and probably hard to read. I think those are all pretty given, and we can all probably agree that those are significant problems with the map. So what the question is, what should we show on this?
what can we improve about this, about the emergency evacuation instructions that are posted at every door? Just center door.
Yep, that's where you can evacuate.
That's where you can evacuate. Okay. The first thing I would say is that the non-center door should get some sort of small sign that says evacuate only from center door, more instructions there. Because I did not know that was a rule till right now. And if everyone agrees with that, we'll put that in.
Okay. Well, both, I guess. I wanted to look at something. I wanted to be able to look at it after the fact electronically. But that's a good point. You know, that's a good point that if something would be available.
Well, in theory, the information should mirror that which is being provided in other communication methods, like the videos online and that sort of thing. I mean, one thing that I think would be helpful on this is... I'll let you make that suggestion, would be identifying different types of emergencies and what to do, and what else is happening when that happens. For instance, I think that there should be a thing up for like a box that says safety or security problem. This is what you do. You know, go to the end call box. If you have cell service, report it, be it via X. So it's not just about evacuations. It's about other issues. And, you know, when you think of what happens in a train, I mean, they don't catch on fire very much, or they haven't in 5 years. I mean, talking about, like, what people will experience, I think the most common incident probably in any train car is like some sort of safety security issue, as was previously mentioned. So I would say a box to specifically address that. I would also say something should be included on the side for what to do if you cannot hear the operator during announcements, because I think everyone would agree that's a safety issue too. Marianne.
What? On the cars, since the main door is where this is located, all the tourists and other people are trying to read the map, and you can't. It's too small. So having the map is a waste that needs to be done on the other side. It needs to be at the center door, big like the ones are at the ends. And then you would have all of the space to, again, try to get rid of all that wording in the middle. And maybe you have three or four boxes, which are sort of the pictorial. What are the main things you're trying to get at?
Mm-hmm.
But that having that map helps no one.
Are we all in agreement that removing the map from this instructions is a good idea?
Yes.
I mean, there would be some value if I was about to evacuate and I was at Forest Glen using my cell phone to shine on the map before I walk out into the tunnel, if there's a tunnel at Forest Glen, that I could see some utility in having the map there to show next stations, previous stations.
Put it on the other side. It needs to be a map you can see.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, though. I mean, it's fine trying to play devil's advocate unsuccessfully. Carol.
I find this hard to deal with because there's so much wrong with it. I almost want to just
let it
tear
go.
It down.
Let it flow.
And start all over. But first of all, I would have, like, two different panels. A panel that talks about emergency procedures or some kind of procedures like the ones we have been talking about. Then I would have what to do in the case of an evacuation or something like that. I don't even know if I would call it that, but somehow I want to have two different levels of information on two completely separate panels. I also want them outside of the train station along the walls that are closest to the entrances to the metro. Okay? And I want to take out... Obviously, I mean, the whole, I agree about the pictorial. As a matter of fact, on somebody's blog this morning, I was looking at the Japanese system where they basically use very little, they in effect use pictographs, I guess is what you call it. And, the whole thing is just, use in a may lead to criminal, take that out. Leave wheelchairs, strollers, et cetera. Seniors and persons with disabilities may be, need assistance with whom. It never says up front, are we to wait for evacuation or is this self-evacuation? That's the that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I think would be valuable to that end is some sort of, if you are not getting any instructions, this is what you should do.
But are we telling people, is that what we really want? Are we telling people they can self-evacuate?
No. I'm saying probably the instruction is don't, like if the train... If there's nothing, if you're in a tunnel and there's nothing coming over the intercom, there must be some way other than everyone get out of the train and walk in the metro. Like, send a single person through the center doors to go talk to the operator or something, you know. I mean, I'm just brainstorming here. Yeah.
That isn't happening.
Democracy. You can then vote on if the train evacuates. Just kidding. No, it's not a serious suggestion.
But that's what I'm saying. What is the purpose of this? Is this what is the purpose of this information? Is it to tell people how to evacuate, to self-evacuate in an orderly manner? Is it to tell people how to evacuate under the direction and guidance of a WMATA personnel? That's to me the first question, because it's not clear to me what this is for.
It's to meet legal obligations.
No, I think there's more than that, and I think that's why they asked this question, is that what do we want to know? And I think you identified two key pieces. There is the evacuation piece, but realistically, I think most riders, rather than wanting to know how to evacuate or self-evacuate or if they should evacuate or what they should do with that, I think a bigger piece is like if they like providing the phone number for a safety or security thing, or more clearly identifying what the emergency call box at the end should be used for. For instance, how to use it. If there's a security issue or an unruly passenger, should we use the emergency call box or should you not?
Okay, so maybe we should just sort of say what to do in the event of an emergency.
Right.
The first thing you're probably going to do is use the call box.
Right, and not call it emergency evacuation instructions.
Right.
Call it
what to do, emergency procedures.
Instructions,
and then
procedures.
That goes back to the threshold question we began with: what the heck is an emergency?
Right.
You know. But anyway, let's. You know,
but,
so it seems to me the first thing you would logically do is use the call box when you want the information. Wouldn't
right.
that be the first thing?
If you're not receiving other, yeah.
Right. I mean, yes. And you almost have to say is follow the direction. That's maybe the first thing. Follow the directions of WMATA staff. If no directions are forthcoming, then you would use the call box.
Or communicate by calling the,
or
if there's cell service, calling the number. Right, that's my point.
Right.
It's kind of like if the answer is yes, move to question
It's almost
B.
like a per chart.
Right.
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure.
Right. So it's almost like the first thing you're going to do is to look for direction from a Metro personnel. If no direction is forthcoming, then the next thing you're going to do is to
this
try
is how
to
you get hold of someone outside the train.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
And
the emergency phone.
Right.
Then, or use your phone to call the number. It seems to me that is the fact that we're saying fire extinguisher, we're expecting people to use the fire extinguishers to put out the any fires. Is that why they're there?
It's probably more.
Has that happened? Are there?
Yes. It can happen.
I know it can happen.
They're mostly for.
I would say like for that point, I would say separate that information in like emergency equipment in this car,
yeah.
Fire extinguishers, emergency call
yeah.
box,
Yeah, maybe
you know,
something like that.
CPR, you know, a jump starter thing kept in the cab. Defibrillator. Sorry. Okay, well, nearest station or airport or public building. Go ahead, and then Deborah.
Maybe there could be some sort, I mean, I know we don't have cell service on, in the trains, but maybe there's some sort of, maybe they can make some sort of call box that goes outside of, not just to the operator. I'm not sure that that can exist. No.
The train operator's radios don't even work.
Yeah,
can we not talk about technical?
Yeah.
Can we talk about what kind of information you want?
Yeah. Deborah. Deborah.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the instruction. Go back, talk about instruction. It should be less worry, more animated.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not 3D.
I agree. So I'm hearing a lot of good things. I'm hearing better definition of what the placard is for. I'm hearing less words, more pictures, easier to understand. I'm also hearing better focus on emergency procedures, not just evacuation, and then having evacuation information also included. And then also emergency equipment in the car, which admittedly is a short list. But Carol.
And then what you need to say is how you can help others or something like that. That's where you come in. You know, how you can help would be, you instead of saying senior citizens may need assistance, assist children, seniors, and persons with disabilities if you can. And whatever the airline says on its information cards about telling you you do not carry your luggage, you know, when you're being, to the plane crash, you know. So whatever verbiage they say on those cards, I don't remember what, that's what we need to put there. You know, that the whole idea is to exit the train if be
sick. Last resort.
Right. I mean, but I think it needs to be, logically organized, I guess is what I'm saying, in terms of what you might need to do.
Well, and I think an additional piece is, like, medical emergencies. You know, if there's a medical emergency, you have broad categories like fire, medical, police, evacuation that can address, you know, well, that would fit under police, but, you know, suspicious packages, that sort of thing. I would like to move the debate on the what is needed on the sign to a close. If there are two very brief comments. Yes, I just mentioned that, Kurt. You weren't listening. That's I think that's not a bad point.
My only point is anywhere you have any information talking about an emergency, you need the MTPD police number. It's not on this. It's not even on the map that's on this.
Right.
Nowhere is that phone number. And it's not an easy number to remember.
Agreed.
Excuse me, that depends where the train stops. If the train stops on the mail line, you have to have the right contact number. If your train stops in Virginia, you have to have a different number. And if a train got stuck in D.C., you have to have a different number as well.
No, Metro want, if you are in an emergency in the system, they want you to call the Metro number, Metro Transit Police number. Right. Like, I've called 911 in the system before, and they just transferred me to Metro Transit Police.
Which delays getting help.
Right. Any other comments? We can get this into text. Carol, last closing thought on the sign? And then,
no, that was it.
Okay, so, and I said what to do if you can't hear the operator needs to be included too. Do we, one last thing I just threw out, do we want to have them say, like, here's how you know help is on the way, like some sort of information, like what Metro is doing when there's an incident? Is that something that's worthwhile to people who are on trains?
Maybe just a sentence saying that if you're stuck, people know you're stuck.
True.
I feel like that's an obvious thing because it's a moving train, but I mean, just so that can be there so that people don't freak out things and like.
No one knows I'm here. Right. Well, and trains are automatically tracked, so I assume they pretty much know where they are and what they're doing. Okay. Great. Well, oh yeah, nice. Hearing all that debate, I guess, in the interest of moving something to the full rack in May for a brief, hopefully, discussion, minor amendment, and passage up to the board and to Metro staff, I would say that I'd keep my motion on the table and incorporate the broad general suggestions that were made here tonight, and we can wordsmith over the next week amongst the folks who are here.
Okay.
And then, but in the meantime, vote on passage of the letter with those suggestions based on what we can all agree upon. Is there a second? All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everyone. I think we had some really good feedback. We do have one more thing on the agenda, which I think might be shorter. Yes.
I was going to say we should
push it. Well, let me. So the second item on our agenda tonight, or the third, the next item on our agenda tonight. Metro staff gave us in December an incident communications workshop proposal that can be found on page 5 of your packets. They want to hold a public forum where the public can come in, learn about what Metro does to communicate during incidents, provide suggestions on how Metro can improve those communications, and improve customer preparedness. So. They proposed this a few months ago, which is the one reason I'm a little hesitant to push it back another month. But I'm just curious to gauge. Everyone probably saw the letter that is included. It can be pretty standalone if we want to cut out the amendment stuff and other suggestions. But if people have suggestions now, we could entertain those. And if there aren't that many, if there are a lot, we could push it back, I guess is what I'd say. So I'd make a motion to pass this letter. And if there's a second, we can open it for debate.
I second.
Thank you. Marianne, Carol.
Well, I second because I think we need to move forward on this. I think this is relatively innocuous. I think the time we spent on the first item was well worth it. I think that this is just a broad proposal for a workshop that we're going to have an opportunity to really shape as it goes along. So I don't think there's any harm. I mean, I know that's not the best idea of staff work in the world, but I don't think there's any harm done in sending this back to them as, you know, taking out these amendments. I don't see anything that's glaring about about what they're proposing.
The major thoughts in the letter are that we want to move forward with the proposal. We want the public to have an opportunity to work with staff. We want the workshop to be accessible to riders, not during the workday. And we want to make sure that things are implemented, not just talked about. Those are the main thoughts. Marianne.
Yeah, and
I agree with all that. I think the only thing I would add is I think one workshop is insufficient. I think there should probably be three, one for every jurisdiction or something related that would get to people, sort of as they did with the Silver Line, because you're going to get the same 10 people if you have one workshop. They need to get additional input. The input they'll get from the 10 is good, but it's insufficient. Because it actually will build off of the content of what we've spent the last 2 hours discussing.
Okay, how about we...
Just to remind you all, the RAC will be hosting this. There will be Metro staff there, but you all will be hosting.
Okay,
if
well...
three workshops, just be aware that you'd be uncomfortable as well.
Then that should be almost... Then that may mean it's by jurisdiction.
Yeah, maybe they
well, are. I might throw out a kind of a counter suggestion, and that would be... I don't necessarily think we need to have three. I do think, though, that we should say, in addition to this workshop, we strongly believe that there should be other outreach related to these issues to both attract people to the workshop and solicit additional feedback, like, you know, social media and, you know, that sort of thing. Does that capture it? I know I'm a little leery on when we're already planning outreach to...
And I understand that, and there's only so much we can do. But I hate doing everything that's got to be through social media because many of the people that we need don't use it.
Right.
And we miss them.
So
maybe we can caveat it. And another suggestion is to kind of caveat and say that, you know, we would like to do this as a first effort. And if this proves successful, we would like to extend it.
We'd like to continue the discussion.
Right. You don't perhaps holding the same kinds of meetings in each jurisdiction or something like that. Because I think the big pushback, the reason I'm willing to sign off on this is we had a big push in September and October. We had it during the daytime. And even though I believe, and it was recorded, and in theory the public could attend, it was, you know, in the middle of the day, it really wasn't open to the public. I think if we had something that's in the evening, I think people will, and easily accessible, I think people will come out.
I think that alternate wording gets the essence and would get us started.
So,
adding in a short paragraph that says, in addition to this public workshop, we would appreciate Metro's efforts to both attract people to the workshop and solicit additional feedback on the questions asked. In other venues, the RAC would be happy to continue this discussion along with the writing public.
I don't think that's specific enough.
Can you just say then, unless John, you have it.
We're trying to mush around by only committing to one meeting, but if it goes well, we will see if we can do other venues to make sure we're getting a broad group of public input.
Gotcha. So what?
I would just say, you know what I do? I'd strike these amendment 1, 2, 3,
right.
I think. And then I would just say in the next paragraph, maybe in further, we would like to look beyond the single workshop to perhaps extend it. Something about extending the opportunity for Metro to hear from the public at subsequent workshops.
Or electronically.
No, I don't want to say electronically. I think what we're saying is that face-to-face.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying that electronically can't be part of each of the meetings, but at least that's what my intention is that
okay.
People need to, well.
Okay. That's fine. I think we got it, right, John?
Sure.
Close enough. I forgot the public's input on this section. Yeah.
You guys need to be specific on what you want from Metro. This meeting was not advertised at all. At all. I mean, what people who are here were on Twitter and saw Carl's tweets. Metro did nothing to help you guys out tonight. You need to say, we want tweets, we want the web page updated on the front page, we want those Metro escalator technician ads taken down for a week and this put up in the train for a week. All those methods of communication, you'd be very specific, because otherwise Metro does not have your back, apparently.
I'm fine in adding in a sentence that says we also strongly encourage, you know, we'd like outreach on, expect outreach, since it, as it, considering it is a public workshop, we expect outreach becoming a public workshop to make sure the public can get here.
And maybe what we need to do is to offer to, work to build a, you know.
Yeah, part of that is us.
Yeah, part of that is us.
We'll mention that.
You know, because now the meeting tonight was on our website, but that's the only place that I remember.
Down, 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 down. It's 3 clicks to get to it.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, this proposal was, yes, agreed, board initiative. Proposal came from staff. I mean, I think that they very much want to have it as a successful opportunity. And I think that the format that they've proposed is a good one, where people can actually talk rather than like a public hearing that has one speaker at a time where you have breakout sessions, that sort of thing. Okay. Any other comments? And if so, maybe someone can move to close debate on the letter. Okay. Motion to close debate by Marianne. Seconded by Carol. So all in favor of passage of this letter with those two additional things. For Kara, abstain, not in the room. We have the next item on the agenda is elections. Someone who I think had been planning to run is not here tonight.
Can I throw his name into the hat in his absence? Since I think he's agreed to do so. I don't. There's no rule that the person has to be here. There's nothing in our bylaws.
No, there's not.
Yeah. There's nothing in our bylaws about this.
No, I mean generally.
But do you have their agreement, or it's just we think there is agreement?
Okay.
I would say we let's not say shady. Shaky. It's not shaky or shady. It's just I didn't get confirmation from that person today.
Okay.
Let's unless there's disagreement, we will move subcommittee elections to the first agenda item for the May meeting of the Safety and Security Committee, which will be like May 8th. Unless there's any other comments, that adjourns this meeting. For the members that are here, we will circulate text and wordsmithing on the suggestions, and then this will go to the full RAC for approval in May. Adjourned, unless there's an objection.